This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
We have lots of sports to talk about as we open up hour number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. Thanks to everybody who stopped by Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. That was a heck of a party on Friday night, Brian.
Yeah, if you got an extra G-Bag flag, somebody lost theirs along the way. We're seeing it on the text here.
Flag at a G-Bag remote. That's happened from time to time.
Yeah, everybody put the signature on that bad boy. So it might be in somebody. I've seen a text here. I don't always read the text.
Hell, Portillo might know where it is.
Yeah.
Ruben Portillo.
Yeah, Ruben might know.
Might be packed up the equipment.
Might be up on his wall right now.
Yeah. Then again, somebody might have it. Somebody else might have it. So if you have the extra flag, bring it back to the station. We'd appreciate it. Get it to the person. It's theirs. Rightful flag.
We'll get that coordinated. Yeah. Not as well as coordinated as Brian Broaddus's pink.
You love when I wear the pink shirt.
Yeah,
the
pink shirt. Pink cheeks.
Yep.
It's a great match.
You like that? We were at Texas baseball yesterday.
Okay.
Texas. LSU was playing in Austin.
Right on.
Young Bennett Broaddus firing the cannon for the Longhorns.
That's cool.
He fires a cannon after every run they're scored.
How many runs?
The SOB went after it on the firing the cannon too much for me.
Was that a little too loud?
It was like LSU was getting crushed.
Oh, I see.
He kept firing the cannon every time Texas scored, and I was like, at the end of it, I got sick. Got sick of him firing the cannon.
The boys firing the cannon for Texas, and you're still cheering LSU?
Yeah.
That hard?
I was, what I did?
He wears Longhorns gear.
This is what I went with. My son, he's a member of what they call the Texas Cowboys. It's been around since the 20s at the university. So he's part of the cannon crew this year. And so I had his hat on. I had my own Texas Cowboys hat, but I had on my LSU belt.
Okay.
Had on my purple socks.
Uh-huh.
I tried to be, but I can't sit there and watch my team. They were awful yesterday. They were really good Friday night, but congratulations to Texas. By the way, Texas women's basketball team.
Getting it done.
Looked like they're going to get to the Sweet 16. So, yeah, it was a rough day for my Tigers down in Austin, but that's why I got the pink face. By the way, have you ever guys got the sunburn on the top of your legs when you're sitting down?
Oh, yeah.
I had the sunblock and stuff on my face and things. And my hands, but I didn't put it on the top of my knees.
The worst is top of your feet.
Yeah,
it burns.
Yeah, but I've got sunburn badly on my kneecaps.
Well, sounds like you had a great weekend going.
No, it wasn't. It really wasn't, Dawson.
That's hilarious. I want to see these knees in the break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'll walk over right now.
They're the bee's knees. Yeah. I can't believe you have pink knees right now because you allowed your. He was probably wearing the Hoochie Daddy shorts yesterday. Wow.
Weekend we've had in the 80s.
That's up 4 or 5 inches into the thigh.
Yeah. That's a pretty high short line that Brian wears.
Palest / pinkest thigh I think I've ever seen.
Now, I was sitting in the row, so the shorts kind of rode up a little bit. That's
yes,
what happened there.
I could see that for sure. Yeah. Well, Ross Lebinski's in for Lucius today. Lucius taking 2 weeks off, so send him some love on social media. Let him know that he is missed. I'm going to take a stab at LA Live tonight.
Are you?
Okay. I got 4 stories plus a replay of the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 5:40. It'll probably be a disaster, but you guys can score for yourselves at home. As we open the show here, Zach Wolchuk off today. Send him some love on social as well. He's taking care of the baby. Joe Milton, Patriots backup.
Yeah.
He got in... for one or two games, 22 of 29 for 241 and a touchdown. He also rushed for 16 yards and a score in New England's win over Buffalo, 23-16. Apparently, Brian, the Cowboys are interested in this backup quarterback that's one of the hot commodities out there in the trade market.
Hearing some whispers from various people that they're going to maybe dip their toe in the pool here and see what they get. Talking to people around the league and stuff, it sounds like that New England really doesn't want to trade Milton. But if they do trade Milton, it would probably be for a fifth-round pick. And that's kind of where Dallas is probably thinking right now as far as do they want to move one of the multiple picks they have this year? Or could you think about maybe getting a 2026 pick?
With multiple teams interested, you know, I would think there would be a bidding war for a guy that went out there as a sixth rounder and put up good efficiency numbers without a turnover. It is a very limited sample size, Chief. But if I'm New England, I don't want to get a five for this. I'm thinking like a three. You know, if you're bringing in Joe Milton, you see him as a good backup and a potential developing starter.
Yeah, I'm with you. If I'm the Patriots, I'm going like right now, I just kind of have this luxury of having another young backup where there's no real controversy. Everybody knows Drake May is the guy, but if something happens to very mobile Drake May, him getting banged up behind what is still a not great offensive line, it's probably nice insurance to have. Mm-hmm. Super cheap, young, with some upside. Now, there's plenty of flaws in his game that Broaddus could probably scout out for you in terms of the Tennessee tape or whatever, but
sure.
The week 18 meaningless situation, he had some highlight reel moments. So I'd be totally in for a five if I'm the Cowboys. But if I'm the Patriots, why would I just punt on this guy for no reason?
Yeah, I don't sound like they want to punt, but it sounds like you offer him a five and you might get this thing done.
Well, maybe that speaks to just like they know that whatever it was that we saw in the meaningless week 18 game is really not
mirage.
Yeah, like they think like we know what this guy is, and well, if we can just get a fifth-round pick right now, let's just go for it, I guess.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, there's no controversy. Like, when you have the weird backup and you got the young quarterback, but there's kind of like, who should be the starter? But that's not the case at all. So
I kind of already, you know, Eric, I told you this weekend I was going to look at quarterbacks. I'm on that mission this week. Me and Vach Lombardi are doing that.
It's good news.
So I've seen four of them so far. And I have both Howard from Ohio State and Milrow from Alabama in the fourth. So if you're gonna make me give up, not make me, if I could give up a fifth for a guy like Joe Milton or like that in the third,
it's back a no-brainer. In the day,
that's a no-brainer for me.
Agreed. Yeah. What do you think the Cowboys' plan would be? They just want a quality backup, or are they starting to prospect their long-term to replace Dak?
I think that you gotta think about with the way that Dak has been, you know, when he got, you know, of course got hurt last year, made it through 2 years ago clean, and then got hurt. So, you know, there's always going to be that possibility. I don't think you can sit there and say, oh, no, that was just a fluke thing. I mean, there's been times where Dak Prescott has missed multiple games from injury, and you no longer have Cooper Rush around to try and win you a football game. So I think this would be some legit stuff. If you're going to ship off a five for a guy, you know, that seems like you've got some interest of helping you down the road.
Alrighty, the Franklin Injury Attorney text line is open at 877-881-1053. If you have sports thoughts or other thoughts, you can send them in. Like this guy right here, 469, says, my dad and I rebuilt a 73 Chevy Nova that's still in my garage today. That sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it?
I tell you what, it's talented. If you could do stuff like that, I watch a lot of those YouTube videos. You know what my new one is, Dawson and Cheech? I'm watching these dudes rebuild airplanes. Like somebody forgets an airplane in a hangar.
Huh.
Like it's a 1978 Beechcraft, and they get the thing to fire up. Now, we never see it fly, but they get the thing to, like, it's like it hasn't flown for 20-something years.
And how long are these videos?
They're like 10, 15 minutes. But they're serious. It's like, they all of a sudden they get to they buy these things sight unseen for like nothing.
So that's enough of a payoff for you to just get to the end and never see that thing touch the clouds?
I'm always
obviously too dangerous.
I'm always fascinated by, like, if they bought one that is just complete junk.
Yeah.
But they seem to kind of find a way after 20 years to get the... Another one is the airplanes that get repossessed. Mm-hmm. You ever seen that show?
No. Airplane repos?
Airplane repo. This dude sneaks onto the tarmac and takes planes while like people are waiting around watching him.
That sounds awesome.
Like he fires that thing up like Lear jets and stuff like that. Like all of a sudden they land it and he's kind of lurking around and the pilots go into the terminal area and like hang out. He gets on the plane, cranks the thing up, and takes it
on. So this dude can fly the plane.
He has to kind of walk around and check and make sure. But sometimes it's like, do they have enough fuel? It's like he's taking a chance.
Mm-hmm.
They might not have enough fuel to get the thing off the ground. So sometimes he's like, man, I think I have to fill this one up. He goes, I don't have time to fill it up. I got to go.
So if you're late on your plane payments, always keep the tank empty on the ground?
On the ground, yeah.
Siphon that bad boy out.
Yeah.
It's a heady play.
Yeah, that sounds like an amazing show right there.
It is fascinating.
That's YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube. It's also, I think it's on like Travel Channel or something like that too. Yeah.
Well, NCAA tournament was really good over the weekend. First two rounds in the books. You think the lack of...
It's done.
...of Cinderellas?
It's done.
I know Stephen A. Smith this morning said if they don't get this remedied, it'll be the death of college basketball.
It's
done. That's too far. I think it'll never be the same might
be
accurate. Yeah.
No, it won't be the same because look at all the teams that are in the tournament or left. It's the Southeastern Conference. It's the Big Ten. It's the Big 12. There's no Cinderella teams in this thing. What's happening, all the mid-major kids are going to these big programs for NIL deals.
Yeah.
If you're any good, you're going to end up at Illinois or you're going to end up at Oklahoma. You're not going to play at little school like Grand Valley makes a great run. Nice little run. We've seen teams over the years make these big runs. It's because these guys all kind of stuck together and played together and found a way to go beat a team that maybe it was a young North Carolina team or young Arizona team, or they beat some team that wasn't tournament ready.
Kentucky.
We don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
We don't have that. We just lost the Cinderella team in college basketball.
That is true, but I think that we have a chance now for the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and the Final Four.
Going to be great teams.
Blue
blood teams.
I mean, clearly have the best of the best.
Absolutely.
So maybe the...
Is that any fun?
The lore of that first, second round excitement might not be there quite as much, mm-hmm. but I think you're talking about Sweet 16 and on being maybe the best that we have seen.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest problem, too, you always want a Cinderella or two, perhaps, to get to a certain point, and you
Saint
didn't get
Mary's,
much of that. But
Loyola of Chicago.
I think the worst part, though, was you just didn't get the many... down to the wire type games.
Connecticut Baylor was good.
Like even
whenever I tuned in, it was a 12-point game.
A lot of these games were double digit type wins, or throughout the game, it's just never really that close. And that's worse to me than not having the Cinderella. At least give me the close game there at the end where you're getting a bunch of buzzer beater type moments. And there just wasn't really much of that.
I think you should. I mean, there's trade-offs, right? Maybe we don't have Cinderellas, but the overall quality of basketball with the big schools aggregating more of the talent, that should go up. And I think they can maybe afford to keep players around that would only be NBA second-round picks.
Agreed.
Maybe
yes.
We only need 32 teams then or whatever. Maybe we don't need we don't need 64 teams.
Need to expand the tournament.
Definitely don't need 68 like we have now.
Sure.
But last year there was only one 11 seed or worse that made it this far, and this year there are zero. So it's definitely a trend to continue to monitor. Still had a buzzer beater, 4 seed Maryland getting a runner off glass from their freshman star Derek Queen, home state hero from Baltimore. He got the job done. I heard it send pastry chef Eric into absolute delirium.
There you go.
Out there. An audacious, skilled big man. Queen, apparently, in the huddle, coach asked who wants the ball, and he said, give me the mother bleeping ball, coach. Yeah. So they gave it to him. Colorado State, Drake McNeese were the only teams that pulled off significant upsets in the first round with the hope of even getting to the second weekend. Yeah. Texas Tech, no problem there with the win over Drake, a 13-point type of situation
Drake's head coach took off to Iowa. So that was probably in the cards. Kids probably sensed something was going on there.
You got to go to where the big money is. And, you know, Texas benefiting from that as well with their hire that should be final soon. The Rangers organization's 2023 Pitcher of the Year essentially being cut from the big league team. Dane Dunning outright waivers. Yeah. Any team willing to take on Dunning can get him for his $2.6 million salary. If the Rangers, if he does clear waivers, the Rangers can then outright him to the minors. Yeah. But I guess they need an opening on their 40-man roster spot. But bigger than that, his salary of $2.6 mil is significant. Right now, the team $8 million under the luxury tax threshold, or $8.6 million as a result of getting this. So maybe they're trying to pile up enough money under that threshold. They don't want to be taxpayers for 3 years in a row and trigger all those penalties. So they're, I mean, I do think it's pretty telling, though, that they gave up a starting pitcher with a history of being very good over $2.6 million, Ray.
Right, right. The financial aspect of it was pretty jarring, and that just shows you the state of where they're at and how much maneuverability they really have from a financial standpoint. And Dane Dunning just not being a guy who played well last year, and this spring was just a disaster.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, his numbers were not good last year, and even though he was 2023 Rangers Pitcher of the Year, by the time we got into the postseason, his role had been significantly reduced. And I think they look at that year kind of like one of those Martin Perez years that the guy's getting lucky, you know? Mm-hmm. Bats are finding gloves, and there's not a lot in the advanced analytics that would suggest he's going to continue to have success. Jared Sandler will join us for more on that coming up at 4 o'clock. Stars back in action tonight. They'll host Minnesota at 7 o'clock, coming off a nail-biting win 3-2 over Philadelphia. Nothing easy right now, Brian.
No, nothing easy at all. That's four straight games where they've gone to overtime, though, but they got the game winner very early right off the jump. You know, mistake by the netminder there, and then next thing you know, they pounce on it for the game winner. So, yeah, it's tough, and you know the divisions. I mean, the Western Conference is very, very competitive, and every point's vital, as they say. And in this case, the fact that they got 2 points was big.
Mavs got 123 points on Friday night. They just kept making shots. Yeah. If they get Anthony Davis back, I think they'll make the play in at least. Today they're in Brooklyn to take on the Nets at 6 o'clock, and Davis upgraded from doubtful to questionable a couple of hours ago. Mark Stein reported over the weekend he could return on this four-game roadie. They play the Knicks tomorrow, Orlando Thursday, and Chicago on Saturday. And if I'm betting, Davis will definitely be back by the end of the week.
Yeah, it's a good chance of this week is what I was hearing. And then some of the other injuries, maybe even next week, some of the guys coming back the following week.
Lively?
Lively.
Gaff?
They're working on Lively right now. So hopefully they get him back. Well, if you're a fan of lose them all, you don't want him back. But if you're a fan of win them all, he's due back likely next week.
Mavs would probably try to become the first team ever to win a playoff series without an actual point guard.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
Let's go make history.
Okay, G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. A historic sports hodgepodge coming up next, Chief. What do you say?
Yes, two young Rangers have made the preseason all breakout team, and I have a major bone to pick with my alma mater next year in the nation.
Here's the Chief of that hodgepodge.
Okay, I have a bone to pick with my alma mater, UNT. And I'm sure Wolchuk would be echoing these sentiments if he was with us today. But first, I want to acknowledge The Athletic and our buddy Jim Bowden, who put together the 2025 All-MLB Breakout Team.
Okay.
This is promising young players to watch. If you had to ballpark guess how many Rangers could be on this list, you're talking about young dudes that could be primed for a breakout. This is not a ton of guys, but do you think the Rangers would have more than one?
We're breaking out right here, right now, 2025. I think there's the possibility of two, at least one. Guaranteed one, maybe two.
Is Bang Bang your one?
Bang Bang's the lock.
Yeah, Langford.
Surefire.
Does Young fit in that category?
Josh Young?
Yeah.
I think the cat has broken loose. He was an all-star.
Okay, so that would be okay.
He would be eliminated. He is in the age bracket that he would still qualify.
I was thinking of the young, but you're right about the all-star stuff, too.
You're thinking, does Leiter get love? Does Rocker get love? Something like that. Not the case.
No.
That would be my two would be Leiter.
I know. Yeah. I have good news for you on the pitching front. in just a moment. We start with Wyatt Langford, 23 years old. We know how much of a monster he is, and he had two great months last season, batting over 300 in both June and September. So 11 of his 16 home runs, driving in 42 of his 74 RBIs during those months. So he had two explosive months, and it was all capped off with the September one, which leaves a good taste in our mouths, making us feel like, okay, he's on the road to meeting the expectations that we all had for him.
MVP candidate.
And he also ended up stealing 19 bases in 22 attempts on the season. So he only played 134 games with the injuries. He was still worth 3.9 WAR, according to Baseball Reference. So he is, they say he has a keen eye at the plate, ranking in the 86th percentile in chase rate as a rookie. Last year, he reached 16 homers and 19 steals. 25 and 25 is realistic for this future star in 2025, says Jim Bowden. So, and some people are even thinking like 30 homers are, you know, definitely on the table for a season like this. But 25 and 25 would be pretty dang strong.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would be frustrated by that season if that's what Langford ends up doing.
25 would be a great year. You know, I would put 40 on the table as a possibility if he can hit the consistency of, you know, the performance that he showed in September. Maybe that's his absolute peak. But, I mean, so even if you bring it down to six per month, you're still looking at 36 bombs. You know, from what I saw in Langford, it's starting to get onto easy mode for him very early in his career.
As long as we don't have oblique issues, I think we're going to be all right there. Yeah. Now, the other guy that makes an appearance here, 6'4", 236-pound lefty, Mr. Robert Garcia.
Okay.
This is exciting. I mean, we need as many lefty arms as possible, and we know the questions with the bullpen, but Robert Garcia is getting some love here from Jim Bowden, and the analytics loved Robert Garcia last year, putting him in the 98th percentile in barrel percentage and hard hit rate, 97th percentile in xERA, and the 94th percentile in chase rate. He throws 94 mile per hour fastball. He has a deceptive changeup and a late breaking slider. So he is a guy that he says, like, hey, working with Rangers pitching coach Mike Maddox, one of the best in the game, that should help him improve the consistency factor. So that's something to be pretty excited about.
How did the Rangers even get him?
Well, that was part of the reason they moved on from Nathaniel Lowe.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And so because having the opportunity to acquire a guy like that, bullpen, lefty, high leverage, and he's on the cheap. I mean, won't be arbitration eligible until 2027.
Yeah, just, you know, one season of stats with Washington last year, struck out 75 guys in 59 innings. I didn't think much of it when the Rangers traded Nathaniel Lowe for him, but that might be a CY stroke of genius.
Yeah, I mean, that's the stuff that CY and Mad Dog, they're able to see through some of the stuff and maybe on a Dane Dunning understand when it's time to offload. But then other guys, they can see the diamond in the rough, so to speak, of like, no, we got something we can work with here.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to Robert Garcia. That's some good news. Now,
I wonder if we still have our guy, because I was just looking something up about him. Do we still have our the guy who's helping out from the Kansas City Royals as a special assistant? Because he was picked by the Royals in 2017. Who's this is CY's the general manager, longtime.
Oh, yeah, that guy that might go run for governor. Is that Dayton Moore?
Dayton Moore.
Yeah.
Dayton Moore drafted this guy. So I wonder if, and he spent 5 years in the Royals minor league system. So I wonder if it was one of those things that he was kind of said, hey, man, listen, take a look at this guy. Because he's had an interesting background from Kansas City, and then he quit baseball for a while and then went to the Marlins on a Rule 5 draft thing. So I was just curious maybe that maybe Moore probably saw him. Well, Moore probably drafted him and said, listen, if you want a guy that, you know, my recommendation, here's a guy that you surely should take a look at.
I love that intel. Yeah. Well, how frustrated and embarrassed on behalf of my alma mater should I be, fellas? I'm asking you. Because UNT men's basketball in the NIT tournament, they dominate this thing, by the way. They had a really nice clutch win over the weekend. But now they're headed for the quarterfinal versus Oklahoma State.
Mm.
They're playing the game in Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a game that should be played in Denton. This should be a...
Because we're the higher-ranked team?
This should be a mean green home game. Why is it not? Because according to our buddy Jeremy Beedling, you have... UNT is holding a staff luncheon in the basketball arena on Tuesday when this game's taking place. And they don't want to reschedule it. So because they're having a luncheon on the basketball hardwood, they're not going to host the home quarterfinal NIT game that they should be hosting.
I'd be livid if I was the coach. I don't know how this makes sense, Chief.
I can't imagine.
This is our basketball court.
Like,
keep your teacher school shoes off our court, please.
Take your lunch in somewhere else, dude.
Yeah. Sure to get ball sacked on this?
I'm not getting ball sacked on this. No, this has been multi-sourced, but Jeremy Beedling gets the credit.
Do we host a first round game?
I believe so. But I'm not 100% sure. I don't really know how all that works. All I know is that tomorrow's game, the quarterfinal, is supposed to be the home game for the
Mean Green. Usually, if you're the higher-ranked team, you get to host the games.
And they're going to Stillwater. So, all for a staff luncheon.
I'd be embarrassed.
That coach has to be absolutely irate right now. And it's the NIT, so I think people just, like, scoff at it.
Yeah.
But come on, man. We're playing. And wouldn't you get good money, like, having the get the gate on that?
That's probably why they're not rescheduling.
Not enough money involved.
Because people probably wouldn't come to the game.
Maybe the organization gets the money. They're like, we're not opening up our spot to do this game if there's not any money in it for us. Yeah. You're right, Brian. Probably follow the money. Time now to go into the Pimp Cup. Ross Lubinsky filling in for Lucius. How's your G-bag today?
Yes, yes, yes. It is that time of day, so we'll let this bed take us away. Welcome in, everyone, to G-Bag of the Day. Do it every day at 2:30 here on the G-Bag Nation. And as always, we start off G-Bag of the Day with our winner from last week. That was on Friday when the guys got a little distracted by some of the players for women's basketball.
And his sleep schedule has to be out of whack. He's on roofs by day. He's at the mic by night. He's flying home, probably getting a second helping at McDonald's after the initial 6 o'clock run through the drive-thru.
Crushing it.
And still, you know, looking respectable.
Yeah.
How about this gal?
It all goes to his head.
It does. Yeah. How about this gal at Iowa State, though? How many McDonald's meals a day
you think she's getting? Hey, man,
you're that wrong. Where's she at? Oh, no.
I saw Kendrick Perkins playing earlier. Was that somebody else?
No, she's a good player.
She was just on Lucius's screen over here. They're covering her in the pregame.
They had to go with a wide shot.
They covered her.
There are some big girls out here that got skills and fancy feet. Her and the gal at Washington, bro. Yeah, Washington gals. She's got game two.
It was a great it's pivot. Not fair. It was a great pivot at the end,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
With the credit to the
you realized what was going
feet.
On, yeah, and you had to pivot there. That was
very
good.
Athletic.
Yeah.
I mean, you're quick and nimble at 250 pounds.
Not easy.
Not easy at all.
No, that's a great athlete, Ross. That's why she's the champ.
Absolutely. And speaking of champs, as I'm sure many Tolos and all of y'all know, UConn eliminated over the weekend for men's basketball. And as a result, the two-time defending champs are no more. And my goodness, I just wanted to bring this back because Dan Hurley has had some pretty public moments, let's call it that. And this is from earlier in the year after his team gets a dub over Creighton.
Two rings, Baldy. Did I hear that right?
Yep. You did. That's Baldy on Baldy crime right there.
Man, it sure is. It sure is. And that was a quick one, but I did want to quickly pivot because I don't know if y'all are members of an HOA when it comes to your neighborhood, but this guy over here on TikTok decided that he wants to wage war with his HOA.
This video is for my HOA. If you're new here, welcome. We're being petty. My favorite part about this whole thing is the vice president of my HOA lives right there. And they just pulled into their driveway.
He's saying
quick
next
recap.
Door.
My HOA recently discovered the trash cans are ugly. Yeah, it's a trash can. Now with this groundbreaking discovery, they've decided to charge me $50 every time they can see my garbage cans from the road. So welcome to part two of things I'm doing to piss off my HOA. Now don't get me wrong. I like living in this neighborhood. It's very pretty. But there's one thing it's missing. Bats. Now they gave me options. They said I could either put my trash cans in the garage, but that's my home gym. or I can erect a fence. In all fairness, I did put up a fence. I just used it to cover the real eyesore, the air conditioning unit. Now, at this point, some of you may be asking, Scotty, why bats? A fun fact, bat sanctuaries are federally protected. Bats deserve to live in nice places, too. Before we put this up in the air, we're going to be spraying it with a bat attractant spray. Free will's crazy, huh?
That's a wild animal right there. You're down to have bats around your house?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, in the name of HOA warfare, all bets are off, Chief.
Are they not, they're not an aggressive bird? Like, when I think of bats, I just, I'm stricken with fear. I would be losing myself if I had bats swarming my house.
Yeah, you definitely wouldn't want them in the house, but I don't think you'll even notice them unless you're looking for them. But I've been in a lot of places where there's bats.
Don't you have any in your area? Don't you have in your neck of the woods? Aren't there a lot of bats? Didn't you tell us in the backyard?
I don't even know. I know it when I used to live next to Sean, we had bats.
Okay,
because there was a big like water and green belt that flowed in the back, and they liked to feast on various vermin and whatnots that were back there. But
no
bugs. I don't think bats will bother you at all.
Yeah, they eat the bugs, right?
What about their poo?
I've never seen bat poo.
Really?
Never have.
Probably don't want to.
Wouldn't know. Well, we could look it up.
And one thing I did want to mention, because obviously this was on TikTok, so this was a video. The guy didn't just put this up, like this little, I guess you'd call it like a bat house or whatever. He didn't just put it like on like a pole, like 6 feet up, like at like eye level, right? He put it like 20 plus feet up. Like it is up there. Yeah. It's just crazy.
So everybody can see it from the road.
Oh yeah, 100%. And especially when you consider the fact that the guy lives next to
perfect.
The HOA person. So just incredible. Yeah.
How about some bat guano for you?
Guano,
buddy?
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bat guano.
Bat guano, yeah.
That's a much cooler word for poo.
These HOA people, they get attracted to this job though because they're control freaks. And they just love getting into their hyper Karen mindset and getting their way. It's crazy, Ross.
No, it really is. And do we have time for one more?
Sure.
Absolutely. All right. Cool beans. All right. So this one, I was working Sean and RJ last week, Wednesday through Friday. And I don't know if any of y'all are Mad Dog Russo fans, but I just had to include this because this clip is hilarious. He's talking about how he's been through the trenches when it comes to the New York Mets and how his son was denied access to an interview.
When I was told to go to Tempe, if you want Mike Socia, Chris, you got to get here at 7:30. Who got there at 7:30 with the tape recorder for 15 minutes with Mike Socia? You're talking to him. Who interviewed Don Baylor out in the parking lot once to talk about 86? Me. Who sat there forever and ever and ever, drove across the state to get from Vera Fiera down to Sarasota to break down with Dusty Baker and Lance Berkman? Me. I did. Sat around the ballpark in Sarasota for hours waiting for Bobby Valentine when he was managing the Red Sox. Who did that? Me! Sat down in the right field line waiting for Selig to show up on a cold day in St. Louis when they played the Red Sox in a World Series. Me!
Me!
Coors Field in Colorado. Me! All-Star game. Bouncing around Minneapolis and Kansas City. San Francisco World Series. San Francisco All-Star games. Who sat there in the ballpark in 1993? With Bobby Cox breaking down Giants Braves with the big guy? With Juan Gonzalez winning a home run derby? Me!
I was there with the Mad Dog.
Mad Dog.
I love it, dude.
Who do you think you are? He is.
Man, just masterfully making a bit and a reoccurring radio theme now on his show out of this moment. And it's a content goal. And I think you can appreciate the Hall of Fame chops of Mad Dog more than ever.
Absolutely.
I know I can. Is it our winner? We were distracted by women's basketball on TV, or more accurately, I was. And for good reason. You know, that gal's got game. Dan Hurley earlier in the year went over Creighton, two rings Baldy. HOA TikTok guy, Free Will is crazy. Or is it the Mad Dog? I'm going to go with the champ, Chief. How about you?
I'm going to go with Doggy.
Ross Lubinsky and for Lucius?
Yeah, I got to go with the champ. That is hysterical. Hysterical, guys.
We're at 2-1, Brian.
Fertilizer superpower.
Okay. Rat guana?
The bats.
Got him. By a score of 2-1-1. Still your G-Bag of the Day champion. It's us. Best of the weekend coming up next, Chief. What's in store?
March Madness and the two most viral clips of the weekend next in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Out the next 2 weeks, Ross Lubinsky's in for him. Texas beating Illinois 64-48 with 1 minute to go. They're bringing the Illinois seniors off the court. They're crying. They're hugging. It's always such a human interest piece of this NCAA tournament when the careers are over. You know, that's the last moment of basketball they'll ever play, you know, for a lot of them anyway. Anyway, the tournament continues. Women's action today. It's time for the Chief and some more sports fun. Here he is.
Yes, best of the weekend. We lost a legend, couple of legends, Bill Mercer of UNT and sports broadcasting fame.
The 99 mentor. Years old.
Yeah, 99 years old. I never actually got to meet him, but in my sports broadcasting class, it was built on everything, all his principles and everything like that. He had a big poster of him in there. He's always referenced. If you went to UNT and you did sports broadcasting, you're absolutely familiar with him. But I didn't, like Corey, get a chance to actually interact with him ever. But he was a man who passed away this weekend at 99 years old. Damn good run. Awesome human being. But we also lost George Foreman. I was curious how that landed with you guys. 76 years old.
I mean, just kind of sad. Huge sports figure in the 90s when his comeback was on. It was just amazing. Larger than life. I mean, he combined so many of my favorite things into one. He was fat athlete in his second come around, which I always appreciate. And he was also old man athlete. He was great trash talking athlete. He just he represented so much of what was right about boxing. You know, he stepped away for like 8 years to be a pastor. Chief, he had a church and everything. That's back into boxing to save the church.
That was literally that was literally what something that I was educated on this weekend when seeing all the tributes and everything and just archival stories or whatever popping up, and I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea the type of man of God that George Foreman was.
Yeah,
punting legend. On his career for a while and then dipping back in. Right.
Yep.
You know what's so interesting though about George Foreman is he might be known more for the grills. Than the boxing career.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like he made a fortune selling those George Foreman grills. He had to make well over a couple hundred million dollars doing it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was incredible what he was able to, but the boxing stuff with him and Michael Spinks and guys, that's from kind of like my era of boxing, him and with Ali and stuff. But man, I think if you said George Foreman, someone would go, oh, you mean the grills? The guy did the grills? Probably people don't know he was a damn good boxer.
I mean, you'd have to be over 40 and a guy probably to have watched his fights.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never got to watch him fight or anything like that, but I have. I'm proudly able to say that I have cooked on a George Foreman before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hard to clean, aren't they?
They, yes, and I wasn't on cleaning duty, so I got to skirt that, but yes, I would presume. Very difficult.
Man, my favorite thing to make in there is a panini. You know, you get the right bread, you get the cheese.
Quesadillas and stuff like that.
It's so versatile. You could do steaks on that bad boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So RIP to the legend, George Foreman. People are calling me out. Did I accidentally call bats a bird at one point? I mean, I apologize. A lot of bat lovers on the text.
Yeah.
When we were talking about the HOA guy putting a little bat area at his own home to anger, I guess, his HOA. The bats are pretty incredible. They eat mosquitoes and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like as a mosquito repellent I guess I'd be willing to tolerate whatever else comes with it because that's the worst part about summer.
Yeah.
It's the worst part about summertime, even more so than the scorching heat itself.
Yeah.
I hate walking outside and then because it's not even outside. They infiltrate. All of a sudden, like as soon as the mosquitoes make an appearance, they're in your house now.
Yeah.
And my kids get eaten alive. But
I get it the worst in my household. It's terrible. We have this outbreak at the house of these things that kind of look like mosquitoes, but they're bigger. Some people call them like mayflies. Mm. Some people call them pinwheels.
Yes, skeeter eaters. They don't bite you or anything
like that.
They're
good.
Yeah, yeah.
Chiropractor? Is that how you say that? It means a hand wing. Is what they're. It's what they belong to an order that's known as hand.
They're not birds. They're known not as hand birds. Wings.
Yeah, they're known. It's Chiropractor. Chiropatera.
Like the pterodactyl?
You're almost there.
I'm
working it out, Brian.
I'm just saying it means hand
wing. Sound it out.
Well, you're the one that called him birds, dumbass.
It's true.
I'm trying to save you over here.
You're doing a damn good job.
Keep going. You're doing well. Yeah, keep going. Oh, these things are birds. Ha, 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 ha.
Let me hand you a chainsaw to pull you out of that sand pit.
Yeah.
we're gonna relive one of my gaffes from last week a little bit later on in the program when we had our origins of the buttload conversation. But in the meantime, let's talk about a couple of things from the weekend. I have to throw this video up. Carter, go ahead and make this happen. I saw the most insane padless Oklahoma drill that I have ever seen in my whole life.
Oh, no.
And we're used to seeing this time of year.
Is this for rugby or something
beaches.
Like that? What are we doing here?
This looks like just a...
spring break deal?
This looks like a non-regulated couple of... like, there's a crowd of people there, but you have two 300-plus pounders doing an Oklahoma drill without pads on. Look at that thing.
Dear God. Maybe a college linebacker against a former college guard who are about 10 years past their prime, but... one of them still explosive. How is he not paralyzed?
I don't know how
he tries
to
Goldberg spear dude, and dude trucks him.
It's the craziest video I saw this weekend. Two
you see, look at this, Brian?
Giant human beings, and the
guy should be dead right there.
The runner takes a big hit, but it was up high, so he doesn't lose. He's able to gather himself and then finish. The runner never hits the ground. He wins the battle. It was a great initial hit there, but it was, I mean, low man wins, and the defender went way too high right there in the chest plate. Good smack, but then the defender ends up the one on the ground. He gets truck sticked when it's all said and done. How ridiculous is that? These guys are got to be like in their 30s.
Man, I will, yes, I'll give him an A for effort. I can say that much. That's a hell of a show. That's the best Oklahoma drill I've ever seen. Not textbook. I'm sure coaches are offended by it.
But. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but the effort, the attitude, the aggression, it was all there on both sides. Yeah. I would have loved to have been there in person to witness that. But yeah, there's really not a price that I'd be willing to go in there, especially padless, and go do 30-plus-year-old Oklahoma drills. That feels ridiculous. It was a great video. I appreciate the content. Speaking of content, we have a new alpha male influencer.
Uh-oh.
Did you see this guy go by? This had to be in y'all's algorithm.
Well, somebody was saying it's kind of cringy stuff going on here, right?
I saw the headline and I did not click because I was
I was a little nervous. What happened here?
I mean, it's not like, it's just funny. This dude is like I think he's a former football player. I don't know exactly where he played, maybe in college, but he was a running back and he is as jacked really as it gets.
Oh, I did see that. So he just...
and it's going through his morning routine.
Oh, yeah.
And so he keeps putting like the time of the morning. He's up at like 4 a.m., you know, and he's getting himself together. And part of it is sticking his face into a bowl of ice water for a period of time, I guess, to wake himself up. I don't know what else it's good for in your face. But the thing that was most interesting was at one point he takes a banana peel after he eats the banana. And then he just starts wiping the inside of the banana peel onto his own face as sort of an exfoliant of sorts.
All right.
So I don't know. I don't know, again, what that... I mean, I get his skin looks to be
probably
in pretty good shape. Yeah.
I got a buddy who lives in the jungle in Hawaii. He just started making these lotions out of fruit. He asked ChatGPT, how can I make lotions out of fruit? And he sold that like the antioxidants make your skin more vibrant and better. You know,
I don't doubt it. I actually think there's something onto this.
Might be some science behind it.
It's a funny visual to watch a grown man just wipe banana peels on his face.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But I do think, and I love that you reference your buddy in the jungle. And when you say that, right, you literally mean he's living outside in the jungle, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He built a floor and a roof. So he's kind of got a structure.
That's great.
I mean, he gets solar power. The rain collected it for a shower.
You guys remember when I was doing the grass fed beef towel on my face?
I do. Yes.
So yeah. I could have probably
smelled so delicious in here.
I should have done like a TikTok morning routine where I'm applying beef tallow from my fridge and onto my own face.
Let me ask you this though, because I'm not necessarily always tuned into the frequency of the social media generation. They're laughing at him, right?
Totally.
God, what a clown.
100% they are. Well, because everybody started doing their own morning routine deals. Yeah, yeah. Mike Golic Jr., our buddy Gojo.
Oh, is it milk and
he did
his cereal?
He ends up putting his own face into a bowl of cereal.
Well done, Gojo. NFL News of the Day is coming up next as we're off and running, 1 hour down, 4 to go here in the G-Bag Nation. What kind of NFL news is rattling around, Chief?
Oh, we got a lot of good stuff. We have a Stephon Diggs update. We have more drama in Cincinnati. Shedeur Sanders, Jameis Winston, and I think Broadus is going to like Travis Hunter even more after he finds this out next year in the Nation.